Well, good morning and happy Easter. Now, I would like to share with you the traditional resurrection morning greeting in which I will call out, "He is risen," and you will call out, "He is risen indeed." Okay, you got it down? Are you ready? Okay, here we go. He is risen. He is risen. He is risen. Amen. Surely he has. Now, a warm welcome to anyone who is visiting this morning. You have joined us on the most important day on our calendar. Jesus rising from the dead changes everything. It makes all the difference. He has conquered Satan, sin, and death. Now, for our Sunday morning message, we are going to need to turn in our Bibles to Matthew 28. If you have one of those pew Bibles in front of you, you can find that on page 834. Just like before, I encourage you to follow along. Page 835. The big numbers are the chapters, and the little numbers are the verses. Now, last Wednesday, April 1st, I kid you not, NASA's Artemis II mission sent off four astronauts into space for a lunar flyby. But you already knew that, didn't you? You can't be American and not know that. It was incredible. I loved it. I had the calendar event on my calendar there to watch with my boys. And we watched as the massive SLS rocket blasted off. That rocket is amazing. It weighs 5.7 million pounds and has a thrust capacity of 8.8 million pounds. Pure power and engineering on display, and I loved every second of it. At this very moment, the crew is on their way to the moon. If all goes as planned, they will begin a lunar flyby tomorrow at 11:45 a.m., and I will be there to watch. Now, if everything goes well with this mission and the next mission, we will once again land on the moon as early as 2028. Most people, I think, are genuinely excited when they hear that we are going back to the moon. Of course, who wouldn't be? It is the moon after all. But for some people, landing on the moon in 2028 is even bigger news, because for them, it won't be a return. It will be the first time we've ever gone. Which raises the question, why do some people believe that we've never landed on the moon? I hope none of you out there believe that. A 1999 Gallup poll found that 6% of Americans believe the moon landing was fake. Fast forward 20 years, and a 2019 C-SPAN poll found that that number had jumped to 19% of millennials. 19%! That's almost unbelievable. How can it be that the same event, clearly documented, can be received so differently? Well, it's because at the end of the day, we live in a society with competing stories. There's competing stories for everything. Some people believe a story that's true, and some people believe a story that's false. So, which story do you believe? You know, the same could be said of Jesus Christ. There's many stories about Jesus and his resurrection. And while there are many wrong stories, there is only one right story. And so again, I wonder, which story do you believe? Let's dive into our passage this morning and take a look at the first story that is mentioned here. The resurrection story. Follow as I read Matthew 28, verses 1 through 10. Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." Our passage opens on Sunday morning, as it is today. It's been a whirlwind week for Jesus and his disciples. It began the Sunday before when he entered into Jerusalem on a colt and then eventually cleared the temple courts. The Jewish religious leaders watching all of this hated it. They couldn't stand it. And so throughout the week, they plotted and planned to take Jesus out. On Thursday night, they arrested him. On Friday night, they crucified him. And on Saturday, they smugly rejoiced, no doubt, as his body lay in the grave. Which brings us here to Sunday morning. And as the morning dawns, his disciples didn't know it, but he had already been resurrected. The two Marys, Mary Magdalene and Jesus' mother, Mary, they go to the tomb to mourn and to anoint his body. And upon arriving, they encounter a startling sight, a glorious angel of the Lord. Now, the nearby guards who are there to watch the tomb, they're scared to death at this sight, and they can't even move, which is ironic, of course, because they were there to guard a corpse. But now that corpse is alive, and they are the ones like dead men. The angel gently tells the women some really great news. Jesus is not here. He is risen. But that's not all that he shares. He then invites them to see the evidence for themselves. He's not pulling a fast one on these women. He's got the goods to back up his claim. Come and see the place where he lay. The angel goes on. He gives this simple command. Go and tell. Now, I love this for two reasons. First reason is because the women did it immediately. They didn't like wait around or dilly-dally like some young couple in love saying goodnight after a long date. No, they left immediately. Verse 8, they departed quickly. They saw the empty tomb, and nothing was going to stop them from going and telling others. That's the first reason why I like it. They're quick to go and obey. The second reason is that they had fear and joy. Yes, fear. I'm excited that they had fear. Verse 8, they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. See, I'd like to point out that faith isn't the absence of fear. Faith is knowing and believing that Jesus is alive. So I want you to picture it. The women run, full of fear and joy, eager to share the news with others. But it's right then that Jesus meets them. and the women stop in their tracks. They worship him. They grab his feet, showing that he's no ghost. They worship a real and physical Jesus, because that's what you do when you believe Jesus. You worship him. Now, I know that might sound weird to anyone who doesn't believe in Jesus, but actually, it makes a lot of sense when you think about it, considering our human nature. Because all people, when we truly believe in something, we want to make much of it. So take, for example, when you discover a good band, or you buy a really effective fishing lure, or maybe you find an interesting podcast. What do? You talk about it. You share it. You make much of it in front of other people. And so these women make much of Jesus by worshiping him. But what's really interesting about all of this is that Jesus tells the women the exact same thing. Go and tell. The good news of the resurrection needs to get out. Others need to know about it. Now, I think these women are really good examples for us today. They show us what it looks like to believe in the crucified and risen Jesus. And so they get an honor that no one else did. They were the first eyewitnesses to the risen Jesus, the first to believe in the risen Jesus, and the first to proclaim the good news that he has risen from the dead. And so Jesus said, go and tell, and they did. And so we see a pattern begin to emerge. If you encounter the risen Jesus, you go and tell others about the risen Jesus. And the women are on it. They go. They go quickly. They go with great joy, because going and telling are not just commands, they are a compulsion. Meaning you can't help it. You are compelled. You want to and you need to, and others have to experience the risen Jesus too. Here, I'll prove it. I'll prove this. If you truly encounter Jesus, you will tell other people about him. Look at verses 11 through 15. I'll prove it. While they were going, behold, some of the guard went into the city and told the chief priests all that had taken place. And when they had assembled with the elders and taken counsel, they gave a sufficient sum of money to the soldiers and said, tell people, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we were asleep. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble. So they took the money and did as they were directed. And this story has been spread among the Jews to this day. Okay, so my claim is that if you encounter Jesus, you can't help it but share that with others. And so, did you notice what the guards did? They did the same thing as the women. They saw the angel. They saw the risen Jesus. It was plain as day. The tomb was sealed, but now it's not. Jesus was dead, but now he's walking around alive. They had front row seats to everything. And what did they do? They goad and they telled others. You can see it for yourself in verse 11. While they, that's the women, while they were going, behold, some of the guard went into the city and told the chief priests all that had taken place. There it is. They goad and they tell. Because when you meet the risen Jesus, you go and tell others about the risen Jesus. It just happens. I mean, how could it not happen? Christ's resurrection is remarkable. So remarkable that it changes us. Well, that is, if you choose to believe what's actually true about Jesus. But if you harden your hearts like these chief priests here in this story, well, then you won't be changed at all. You'll despise the resurrection. See, that's what the religious leaders did. They feel threatened by Jesus, and so they concocted a lie, a false story to protect themselves. And so they instruct the guards, tell others that Jesus really didn't rise. His disciples just stole the body. And then they sweeten the deal. Take some money. We'll cover for you. They knew what was right, but they made up a story that's still believed to this day. Because you don't have to look very far to find someone who believes that Jesus was indeed real, but just didn't rise from the dead. His followers, as the story goes, fabricated the resurrection to consolidate their own power. But ironically, it was the chief priest who fabricated the story to protect their own power. But just because something isn't true doesn't mean people won't believe it. There are plenty of different stories about Jesus. Some might be right, some might be wrong. Which story do you believe? Do you believe that Jesus rose from the dead? If so, how can you tell? Do you believe Jesus was real, but not worth your time? If so, how can you tell? Do you want to know what story you believe about Jesus and how you can tell? Just look at what you do. Here's what I mean. Check out the guards. The right story is the resurrection story. The guards knew it. They saw Jesus. They knew it, but they didn't believe it. And so, they chose to ignore the truth, take the bribe, and spread the lie. Maybe it was because they needed the money. Maybe it was out of fear of their superiors. Maybe a little bit of column A and column B. But what is it for you? What's keeping you from believing the truth about Jesus? Is it fear that believing in Jesus would mean giving up something you love, like control of your life, or pride, or something else? What is it for you? There's only one story that is true, that Jesus died for your sins, that he rose from the dead, so that everyone who believes in him would be forgiven of their sins and be welcomed as a child of God. Friends, there is no better place to be than in the arms of Christ, because only he can take away your guilt and wipe away your shame. Only he can give you peace in your turbulent life. And that's why Christians believe in Jesus. Because only he can give what no one else can do. Because only he has conquered death. Only he has the power to rise from the dead. And therefore, only Jesus has the power to give you eternal life. So the choice is before you. You know the right story. Will you believe it? Will you trust that Christ died for your sins and rose from the dead? Now, perhaps you're here and you're interested in Jesus, maybe getting a little more connected with him, but you still have some questions. And I want to say that's okay. This is a safe place for you to be. We welcome you to keep coming and learning about Jesus. I mean, it's just like the angel, what the angel said to the women. Come and see the evidence for yourself. And so I invite you to come and see. We open the Bible each week to know about Jesus and then to believe in him. Because the right story is the resurrection story. And when a person truly meets and believes Jesus, it changes everything. Verses 16 through 20. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." These 11 disciples, they meet Jesus on a mountain. And when they see him, the 11 worship. But some still had doubts. And I find that really encouraging. It teaches us that faith is not the absence of doubt. Faith is believing the right story about Jesus, even in the midst of doubt. And so a word to my Christian brothers and sisters. You believe in Jesus. But the truth is, everyone experiences doubt from time to time. And perhaps you're going through one of those seasons right now. Be encouraged that you are not alone. Be also encouraged that faith is believing the right story about Jesus and showing it through obedience even when we waver. Notice that's exactly what these 11 disciples do. All believed, some doubted. All believed, so all did what Jesus told them to do. And what did Jesus tell them to do? Go and tell. Go and it's the same thing that's been all over our passage. Because when you meet the risen Jesus, you go and tell others about it. You don't go and tell because you have no fear and you have some doubts. You go and tell because Jesus is alive, and that changes everything. Now, a quick word on what Jesus specifically commands here in verses 19 and 20. Just a quick word here, okay? So he gives us one main command. It's make disciples, which is to say that we as Christians ought to help others follow Jesus too. Okay, now, so forgive me. I know this is Easter morning, but a little grammar lesson. I apologize for this. Along with this one main verb, make disciples, Jesus has three what's called participles that accompany it. That is what helps us understand how to make disciples. And so those three participles are go, baptize, and teach. Okay, so those help us understand how to make disciples. So go. Go simply means that a Christian is purposeful in making disciples wherever they are at. Baptize. Baptize is just shorthand for conversion, if you will. Meaning, when we invite others to believe the gospel and they repent and believe, the next step is baptism. The next step is always baptism. Because baptism is God's way for us to go public with our faith. It's like putting on the team jersey. Finally, the last participle is teach. That is to say that we are to teach others what we know about Jesus. Now, we can't know everything about Jesus on this side of heaven, but we can tell others what we do know about Jesus. And if you are a Christian, you know that Jesus died and rose from the dead. And so now we can see the point of this passage. A disciple is someone who believes the resurrection story about Jesus and then goes and tells others about it. Christian, do you believe the right story, but stop short of telling it to others? Perhaps it's because you think you need faith without doubt. Or maybe you think you can't because you're afraid and not bold enough. But as we have seen, true faith is not the absence of fear or doubt. Is believing the right story and sharing it with others, even in the midst of fear and doubt, just like the women and just like the 11. And so I give you a challenge, Christians. Go and tell one person this week about the risen Jesus. Here's the thing. The right story, the resurrection story, means that Jesus is alive. And if he's still alive, he's with us to the very end. And that's how our passage ends. Check out that last sentence one more time. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. So if you are a Christian, then Jesus is with you. He is with you always and forever. And this Jesus is trustworthy because he has shown it repeatedly. Jesus lived a perfect life. He died a sacrificial death. And he rose a victorious resurrection. And he did it for you. And that means everyone can believe. Go and tell the resurrection story because Jesus is alive. See, I really like this passage. It's a comparison of sorts between characters. It's a comparison between Jesus and the chief priests. Because Jesus rose from the dead and then he instructed his disciples to go and tell others about it. But the chief priests, they told a lie. They told the guards to say that Jesus' body was stolen. It's a comparison between two parties, each telling a different story. But the right story is a resurrection story. But this passage is also a comparison between the disciples and the guards. The disciples believe in the risen Jesus, and so they tell others about the risen Jesus. The guards love money or safety or something else. And so they believe a lie and spread the lie. It's a comparison between two parties believing a story. And so in closing, I wonder, whose story do you believe? There are many stories about Jesus, but there's only one true story. Jesus was crucified for you. And he rose from the dead for you. And he did it so that you would have lasting peace now and eternal life then. So whether you go to church or not, whether you firmly believe or you have doubts, believe now that Jesus rose from the dead and then go and tell others as well. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, as Cross Creek Bible Church, we give you glory and praise and honor, for you have risen from the dead, and no one else can say that, and we give you the glory. We thank you that you share that resurrection power and life with us, so that we who believe have new life in you, and we have a confident future. I pray that you would give us the confidence of heaven in the place of earth right now, so that we would truly obey by going and telling others. We can't do this without you. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, but please relieve our doubts and our fears so that we can be obedient as our hearts desire to do. Help us this week. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.